There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome to today's WCN-TV program. It's Tuesday, November 12th, 2024. We're broadcasting live. Well, we made it through the election, and we're all still here, at least most of us. It's really sad the way the mainstream media and the leftist talking heads and the communist teachers in our public schools and colleges have twisted so many minds into lunacy. Many leftist followers are in deep emotional turmoil because Trump won the White House, although it literally has had no impact on their lives. They're in utter despair. I see a lot of stuff on a lot of social media with leftists melting down, you know, and I think a lot of that is just made up, because being on TikTok and these social media platforms are kind of a cottage industry now. They can actually get paid for the more clicks they get, and the more ridiculous they are, the more money they get. So I think a lot of this thing that we're seeing is phony, whatever, but some of it's true, obviously. I just read this this morning about, there was a man in Minnesota who killed his ex-wife, his current wife, and his two children, and then committed suicide because Trump won the election. This is what the leftist communist brainwashing has come to. People literally killing themselves because they've chosen to believe the lies. It's really sick. Well, today on WCN-TV, Shahram Haidian is our guest. We actually had him scheduled for October 8th, but at the last minute, Shahram was fleeing Hurricane Milton in Florida with his son. So we're glad to have him with us today. Shahram is the founder of Truth and Love Ministry and is a sought-after speaker who travels around North America addressing critical issues facing us as believers and Americans. Shahram is also a former Muslim born in Iran who came to America to escape an oppressive Islamic regime. He has a unique background as a pastor, police officer, teacher, coach, and servant leader in his community. He's also been a frequent speaker at Wisconsin Christian News conferences, so you may have met Shahram in person. Shahram, welcome to the program. Glad you're here today.
Great to be with you guys, Rob. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a privilege.
I see you're not wet. You made it through the hurricane okay.
Yes, we made it through the hurricane. Praise God. Yes.
So, well, to kick things off, I know you live in Tennessee, and so you're close to the area that was affected by Hurricane Helene. Tell us what you know about that situation.
Well, you know, there's a lot that was very questionable in regards to how things happened. You know, we were very fortunate, of course, that Rob, we were facing about a Category 1 hurricane inland here in Knoxville, Tennessee area. I mean, that's unprecedented to be able to have a Category 1 level hurricane with 70 mile an hour potential winds hitting this area. So, you know, we were fortunate that it ended up turning, and then it kind of, you know, went and parked over the area of far eastern Tennessee and western North Carolina and just sat there and dumped historical. I mean, when I say historical, they said the probability of 30 plus inches of rain was once in a thousand year happenstance. So, you know, so there's a lot of questions that we can ask about what's going on with these bizarre, unusual weather systems, and some things that shouldn't be controversial. Like, we know that there's things like, you know, cloud seeding and things that they're doing, which they're, you know, I think whenever the lesson is whenever we mess with God's creation, it doesn't go well. But nevertheless, the devastation, the impact, we've had people from our church and from our network of believers in that area multiple times. The recovery is going to be months on. And right now, the big need there, the big prayer is that the people that are homeless are in tents. And in the middle of all of this, particularly in North Carolina, their Health and Human Services are coming after the children. And this makes me so mad, because we've obviously seen, Rob, the nonsense with FEMA and the exposure of FEMA, where we see that they're telling people, you know, if people have Trump signs in their yards, don't help them, like in Milton in Florida. And we obviously saw, we heard early on a lot of things within the first month about FEMA coming in and threatening to arrest people, threatening to, or they were taking over areas where there was supplies that had already been brought in. What we've heard is that the greatest help has come from churches, has come from organizations that are non-governmental, that there are just, you know, members of the community helping each other. But the greatest need right now is for housing, because Health and Human Services come in and is now threatening to take these people's kids because they're living in tents. And they're saying, unless you have four walls and a roof over your head, we're going to take your kids. And they're giving them a deadline, and they're heading into winter. And so it's just, it's so outrageous. It is criminal behavior by the federal government, a corrupt FEMA, a corrupt federal government, probably corrupt officials in the state of North Carolina. But praise God for God's people who are helping through, again, these very bizarre and unnatural, quote, disasters. And maybe I'm sounding like someone who's being conspiratorial, but it just, you know, when a hurricane doesn't act like a hurricane, when a fire doesn't act like a fire, when a virus doesn't act like a virus, you got to start asking some questions of what's going on.
It's interesting you mentioned that about the kids, because the same thing happened in Lahaina, and a lot of those kids are still unaccounted for.
Right.
They came in, you know, school buses were found at the airport on the other side of Maui, but the kids are still unaccounted for. So it's interesting that you're mentioning this again. They're coming for the kids. That wasn't even on my radar screen, but thank you for sharing that. You know, I have a ton of reports from early on regarding how FEMA was once again hindering efforts by individuals to rescue people, get supplies, food, and medicine into the storm zone. Can you confirm any of those reports from what you've seen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, there was no FEMA probably for the first maybe 10 to 12 days. I think we heard that the very first signs of any FEMA representatives on the ground was maybe at least 10 days in. So all of the initial search and rescue, all of the initial rescuing of people were done, again, by individuals, locals, groups. One of the groups that we're supporting is a ministry called Grindstone Ministry. They have been to, I think, 35 or 40 of these type of disasters across the country, very well organized. We lent support to them from some of our folks for comms, because communications were down. And that's the very first thing, you know, in these emergencies is a lesson to us. When we talk about preparing for emergencies, the importance of communications, ham radio. They were able to go in with just small radios using the repeaters. A lot of them were down, but being able to use high frequency and well-trained ham radio operators to go in there and help, heavy equipment. But that was what we started hearing, was some of it happened initially on the TEMA side. That's the Tennessee Emergency Management Association or administration. But then that quickly was rectified, because we had some of our state legislators who were on the ground, and they very quickly put pressure on them to stop getting in the way of citizens coming in and bringing supplies, because people were threatened on the North Carolina side with arrest. We did get word that they had confiscated supplies, basically saying we're coming in and taking areas over. We've also gotten word of land grabs, like in Lahaina, where they're now saying we're coming in and they're deeming areas, land where people have lived for, maybe, 150, 200 years, or families have been in these areas, saying, we're going to deem this area as uninhabitable. And ironically, of course, you've probably heard the stories about, the lithium mine, the quartz mine, some of the resources that are in that area of the country. So there's, again, just like Lahaina, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. But praise God for the response of the churches, the response of, again, those organizations outside of the government that were there and continue to be there to help get these people back on their feet. And here's the other cool thing. I don't know if you saw this. The voter turnout in those 28 counties was incredible, because we were very much concerned that this was going to affect the election in North Carolina, being a swing state, because that area of the state is the most heavily Republican and going for Trump. Those 28 counties, Rob, if you saw this, actually had a larger voter turnout than in 2020. They had about an 8,000 vote increase in their voter turnout through these people not having houses. They still managed to get out and vote and to impact this election. It truly was remarkable, the spirit of the people that are there, but yet the government continues to get in the way.
Yeah, that's a problem. So last month in Wisconsin Christian News, we published an article titled Murder in Appalachia. And I've recently had some major pushback from one of our readers in particular, who simply doesn't believe the federal government would ever deliberately hinder efforts to save Americans after a disaster like this. I told him the evidence I've seen, but he won't look at it, says I'm just fear-mongering, and he checked with a friend of his who works for a missionary group and has a lot of interaction with FEMA, and that person told him that FEMA would never deliberately block supplies or help from people. But that's not what I'm hearing, and you have just confirmed what I have been hearing, that yes, once again, we have another Lahaina on our hands. The government is confiscating supplies. They're blocking people from helping. And now you're telling me they're coming for the kids.
And the land, the kids
and the land.
Exactly. Yeah. Like with Lahaina again, the land grab, as you said, very well about the kids. So look, all you got to do is talk to enough people on the ground, especially early on. I think once light came on to the fact that FEMA was doing this, they did back off. But early on, once they were on the ground, especially those critical next couple of weeks, they were a hindrance and they were a problem. And one of our guys talked to some of the helicopter pilots that initially on were being threatened by local officials and then FEMA of arrest if they kept going back in. And yet in some of these areas, as you know, that's the only way they were able to get in was via helicopter. As you saw with even mules going back to those days. And the other lesson, by the way, is the fact that, you know what didn't work early on for people? There was no cell phones. There was no communications. Mm-hmm. People who were trying to get out of the area, get a hotel, debit cards, they didn't want to take electronic payment, a digital payment. So going back to cash, going back to, think about mules going into these areas. I mean, think about how quickly we can revert back to, these aspects of being prepared for emergencies that are very basic when things go down. And again, I cannot stress enough for people that in your own area, this is why, if you remember, not last year, but the year before when we were at the Wisconsin Christian News Conference, we talked about the importance of those alternative systems. We talked about the importance of particularly setting up local groups to deal with emergencies. We have developed what we call a community response team, and that's who we sent up there. Is basically our leadership of the community response team is who went up there to not only evaluate, but then to come back and tell us, here's what we need. And the needs changed. It went from basic needs, food, toilet paper, water, to clothing because of the cold. Now, housing. And we have a guy locally here who owns a dealership for mobile homes and things like that. And they're trying to get people to donate or at least lend out mobile homes and building small buildings so that people can meet this unbelievably oppressive requirement to say you have to have your children in four walls and a roof by a certain date. It's just unconscionable that on top of everything, the government would come in and try to use that as an excuse, as you said, like in Lahaina, to take people's children. It's just unconscionable. But let's pray that we have a different day coming. And what we just found out with what was exposed in FEMA, again, to your supporter who doesn't believe it, well, look what happened just today, right? The individual that was fired for putting the directive out to say that stay away from houses that have Trump signs, don't right. help conservatives, which is just, again, that's not only unconscionable, it should be criminal, because it's a negligent of their duty. But then that person, I don't know if you saw the video, they came out and said, look, it wasn't us. This was directly given from the top of FEMA. This was directed down that this is how we're to now become a DEI. So let's pray that
no under doubt that it came from Mayorkas himself.
Exactly. So let's pray that under a Trump administration, that can change. But bottom line, this is why we prepare locally. Don't wait on FEMA. Don't wait on the government to come help you. We got to organize locally, build our own community response teams, logistics, communications, medical, security, build our own teams locally. Don't wait for the government to come and rescue you.
Well, and again, the situation with them putting a deadline on housing, or they're coming for your kids now, that's a major push for a land grab. Because
yes.
obviously people are not going to be able to meet that deadline locally, and they're going to have to go elsewhere, leaving their land vacant.
Exactly.
And that's just what they did in Lahaina.
Exactly.
People were put in on different islands. They were rehoused on different islands, or even the mainland, and for 18 months. After 18 months, it's awfully hard to come back.
So, absolutely. And the fact that they're claiming some sort of an eminent domain, or some sort of a, we're going to declare this area unhabitable, and they gave orders. There was another article I saw that at some point in North Carolina, they were giving orders, we're not going to rebuild these power lines or these roads. We're not going to put up these power lines. So you got to ask the question, what is it about the land? You know, is it the BlackRock connection, the contract that they had for the mines there? Is it, you know, what is it about that land, just like in Lahaina, that they were trying to take away from?
I believe it's the quartz and the lithium mining, but I've also heard that there are major concerns with environmental issues, serious pollution, because because of the waste that was washed into the system from the lithium and quartz mining. So, I mean, that's
and Rob,
I've been told it was East Palestine, Ohio, times 100.
Yeah, so. we were told we have not been in the water. Even downstream. So that water system comes, you know, all the way down to Knoxville here. And so it has been like boating has been like a ghost town. I mean, this area, we have lots of waterways, beautiful fall, right? We had a beautiful fall, and typically there's tons of boating, but it's been very, very few people on these waterways because exactly of what we heard. In fact, we had an oncologist come to our group last month to address our group locally here, and said that very same thing, that they estimate that there's a tremendous amount, and it wasn't just the mines. Apparently, there was some other type of factories that were, you know, in these areas, and that all of that waste, chemical waste, you know, is now downstream. So how long are these waterways going to be contaminated? And again, you know, why aren't people able to ask serious questions about weather modification? Is that even a possibility when you have things that aren't, you know, Georgia was hit with Helene category 2, unprecedented. We were facing a category 1, unprecedented. The rain, unprecedented. So, I mean, cloud seeding is not a, you know, it's not a conspiracy theory. When Dubai gets 2 years worth of rain in 6 hours, when you see that in other countries where they're doing this cloud seeding now, and they're messing again with the creation of God and potentially affecting these. I'm not saying the storm itself was or was not, but certainly it can affect things in regards to intensity.
Yes, and from what I understand, they just had a winter wonderland in New Mexico desert.
So, right, right.
Crazy. Crazy. Anybody in our audience have any questions for Sharam? And then we're going to change gears here a little bit. I have a question. Right at the start, we heard that they were bulldozing an entire city, bodies and all. Do you have any information on that?
Yeah, that was one of the things that we were hearing, was the fact that the people that we had on the ground said, first of all, they talked about the smell. They talked about that. They estimated that the numbers, it's interesting because we have not been able to really hear anything on the death toll. There has been really nothing recently that has gone and said, okay, now the death toll is 1,000 or whatever, because initially it was talking about maybe 100 and something. Yet one of our guys said that they had talked to some people who were there doing relief work, where they saw trucks coming in with these coolers, with the beds of these big trucks that had their refrigerant. They saw well over 1,000 body bags. And basically there was talk, and that's what we were confirming, that they were going to not do any body rescue, that they were just going to basically kind of cover things up and bulldoze, which is egregious when you think, you know, for the families of those who lost people. But the force of the water, the debris field, bodies being, you know, unfortunately torn apart. I doubt that there will ever be full recovery of the bodies. But that's what we were also hearing, was that there was some talk that they would just have to cover up some areas, bulldoze over, not even attempt to do a proper retrieval of these bodies, because it was just so destructive. The you know, remember, I mean, these are high up places in the mountains.
They're
used to seeing, you know, a flood surge of maybe a couple of feet. They saw flood surges of over 20 feet, areas that shouldn't have been ever flooded. So this was historic, absolutely unprecedented. It just didn't make sense that something like this would happen as a hurricane in that part of the country, when the storm just kind of sat there and dumped and dumped and dumped water. But I pray that there would be not only cleaning house. I mean, this is what I believe. And I said this after the storm. I said, we have to recognize that the weaponized federal government and all these agencies are now an enemy of the people. And what, again, you saw with FEMA this week, and now DeSantis has called for an investigation in Florida, is, again, a weaponized DEI woke. When you go to help people, I can never imagine, if when I was a police officer, Rob, where I went to a car accident, a crime scene, I went to multiple different types of calls. I can never imagine a directive where you go in there and say, well, ask the person first, are they a Republican or a Democrat? Ask the person first, are they straight or homosexual? Are they male or female, or identify as, you know, whatever? I would have never imagined the scenario where someone who's supposed to be helping people would have the, I mean, the conscience of these people is so seared. And this is why we are in the mess that we are in, because the conscience of our nation is seared when we see these things and don't immediately say, this is absolutely not acceptable. We will not tolerate this. There has to be a recompense and answers for this. And of course, again, I pray that there can be, but these are criminal actions. It's not just, oops, it's a policy. It's a criminal action. It's a dereliction of duty. As a police officer, if I went to a scene where I'm supposed to be sworn to help and I don't help, I can be brought up on charges. And that's what I think should happen ultimately if there was justice, and then completely cleaning house in FEMA, cleaning house in the Secret Service, cleaning house in Department of Homeland Security. I'm not sure about Kristi Noem. I'm not sure today we got word that Kristi Noem is now potentially being tasked with the head of Homeland Security. That one came out of left field for me. I don't know what your thoughts are on that one, but...
I'll get into that. First, let me say that it's unfortunate that the reader that I mentioned, who has accused me of just being a fearmonger and bashing the government, will never be able to see the evidence that I have, because he is of a religion that, or a denomination, that refuses to watch videos. And all the all the testimonies I have are on video. So I can't take any of my evidence to him. I can transpose it in print, but then it's just hearsay. So
that is unfortunate.
So I'm kind of stuck, but
yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Let's change gears and get into the election here. What are your general thoughts? First of all, I think it's better than it could have been had it gone the other way. I don't think it was ever going to go the other way. I think Trump was selected. But what are your thoughts? Susie Wiles is a problem for me, his chief of staff. Big pharma lobbyist has been now named chief of staff.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, what are we doing? I talked to somebody who was within the Trump campaign, who's trying to assure me that, she's different now, because she worked on the DeSantis campaign down in Florida before coming onto the Trump team to work on the Trump campaign. They're trying to assure me that she's, a strong Christian. But same with J.D. Vance, right? You know, we identified J.D. Vance and the pick for J.D. Vance. Again, very articulate guy, smart guy, articulate guy. But those connections to Big Pharma, those connections to the likes of Peter Thiel a CIA-connected group, it just smells of, again, the mechanism of control. Because you're right. I've said from the beginning of this, of 2024, that I thought that we would see a selection process. I said, if they do not cheat, Trump wins big, they're going to allow him to win because they have something else planned. And I think that's what happened. I believe that they did not cheat to some extent, because we obviously were concerned about that there was efforts going on. Election night, which we covered on our show for 6 hours, at one point Georgia stopped, looked like there was no count coming in for over an hour. We're like, oh boy, here we go again with the stop the vote. Arizona doesn't make sense, because Trump got about 190,000 more votes than Kari Lake. Now, I know she's not the most popular. A lot of people see her as very abrasive. She wasn't Trump endorsed, but that many people didn't vote down ballot for the Senate race. I don't know. The Maricopa County, Pima County there in Arizona, huge issues, huge problems. I will say this. I do think that the Republicans seem like they were a little bit more on top of being on top of any cheating. But again, all I said was the selection is there because they decide not to cheat. Obviously, it's a historic election in the sense of, Rob, the numbers, the shift towards the Republican Party, Trump's numbers, most votes ever for an incumbent, I would consider him an incumbent president because he was president before, obviously. 312 electoral votes, most since Bush Sr. in 1988 for a Republican. So a historic election. But I'm still very concerned with the mechanism of control, where they knew that they weren't going to be able to hold on to power. So now the goal is let Trump in and control or sabotage. Now, my initial instinct from a spiritual standpoint is I do believe that, God allows things, obviously. And in 2020, the Lord allowed the theft of our election. In 2024, he's now allowed Trump to get back in there. So I want to say that there was maybe a hand of God in the analogy that I used to our church was we were driving, towards the globalist agenda at 160 miles an hour. The gas pedal was on the floor, moving towards global governance, the Great Reset fully implemented, Agenda 2030, digital currency, digital ID, loss of national sovereignty, every aspect of the globalist agenda, one world religion, at 160 miles an hour. Perhaps the foot has now been taken off the pedal and things are slow, things may slow down a little bit. And we go now 80 miles an hour. I'm just using that as an analogy. But so I do think that there's maybe just a we've maybe bought some time and the Lord has given us time. But I said this morning on my show, I believe that prophetically that clock is still ticking and we're still moving. And I know later we're going to talk about Israel. I'm very concerned about that. Oh, by the way, I was very concerned about the Muslim support for Trump.
I was too. Yeah.
He won Dearborn. So now, he won Michigan by about 90,000 votes. The Muslims are going to say, see, we put you in. If it wasn't for our vote supporting you, you wouldn't have won Michigan. The Somali Muslims come out in Minneapolis and endorse Trump, some of them. So that's going to hamstring their hands on dealing with the Muslim Brotherhood, the aspect of the infiltration of Islam in the West, in America, national security. So that's very concerning to me. Then, of course, the stuff with Israel, and what I mean by that is the prophetic stuff, the Abraham Accords and such. I know we'll get into that, but. Look, are there some positive things that I think that can happen with the border, maybe the economy, energy independence? Yes. But the people that are around, almost every pick has been so far an insider. I mean, do you have a pick that's been an outsider? Nope. We were thinking with Musk and RFK, there would be some outsiders coming in. So far, members of Congress, these governors, again, Kristi Noem, Homeland Security, talk to people who live in South Dakota, and they'll tell you how inept Kristi Noem is in really running that government. I'm not feeling it yet as far as, pushing against the swamp. Draining the swamp, the deep state.
Right. Yeah, I have to wonder if it's all just theater or if some of it could possibly be true. I still don't know. You know, I tend to observe things more deeply or maybe more paranoid than I probably should. But
four years ago,
when he did his rallies, Trump, he always played this song by the Rolling Stones, "You Can't Always Get What You Want." And I said to myself, why does he always play that song? That makes no sense. It doesn't fit with anything that he's talking about. Did he know back then that he, you know, even though we wanted him reelected, that he was going to have to step aside for 4 years and then he'd come back? I don't know. It seems the deep state always tells us what they're going to do before they do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I think we go into it with optimism in the Lord, hope in the Lord. I mean, my hope is not in the Republican Party or in Trump, but my hope is in the Lord. But I think we go into it eyes wide open, watchmen on the wall. We have to be very discerning, and also we have to hold their feet to the fire. Look, Rob, what happened in Missouri with the abortion amendment was, in my opinion, a direct result of the new Trump Republican Party. Because there was no turnout, there was no support to stop that abortion amendment in the red state of Missouri. They were outspent 32-1, $32 million to about $1 million. The pro board spent about $700 million on the 10 states that they were trying to get these amendments. They almost got it through Florida, right? Florida, the only reason it didn't pass was because there was a 60% threshold for the amendment, and I think they got up to 57 something. But I was very, very vocal, very upset. And then now look what they're doing in the Senate. I mean, the swamp is still there. Why is McConnell calling for a vote now? Why doesn't he wait?
Well, because he wants to set it up before Trump.
Because exactly, right? They want to set it up. They want to make sure they have control. John Thune comes in. And a lot of people have warned me about John Thune from South Dakota. He comes in. And, immediately tells Trump, don't interfere, you know, stay kind of in your own lane, you know, if you know what's good for you. So they're gearing up for this battle. They're, there's going to be opposition left and right. So, again, I'm hopeful that at least it gives us a little bit of time to breathe and to prepare ourselves for what's coming. But my encouragement to people is, if you go to sleep like people did in 2017 when he got elected, when he was inaugurated, then we deserve whatever's coming next. If there's any chance to buy some time, to push back, to sort of regain some sanity in this nation, then now is the time, especially given the optics of, okay, we got the House, we got the Senate, we got the presidency, we got the Supreme Court, we got every branch of government, and we have a record mandate, and now we're going to stall again. I don't know. So it's some of the picks are very questionable. As you said, there's a big question mark about Susie Wiles and coming in there. But, you know, and Trump's a, from everything people that I know that have worked on the campaign, loyalty is everything to him. So a lot of times we can make really bad decisions because of loyalty. And I mean, obviously loyalty is important, but you can't put loyalty. It becomes a good old boys club. You have to have wisdom and discernment and leadership and not just based it on loyalty. And I think that's a big downfall to his character. But I'm just praying that the Lord can still move through this situation, even though, you know, I agree with you. I think it was a selection process, which means that they have some, by the way, have you noticed how quiet they are? Why aren't the streets burning?
Well, they will.
I mean, right?
You know, they're just kind of, don't believe those nice little concession speeches that
right.
Kamala and Joe gave.
Right.
Don't believe those for a minute. That's not real. That's just covering their themselves. for what they have already ordered. They've already ordered the riots. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah,
I think they're going to let us have a Thanksgiving and Christmas time.
Yeah.
And then I think they're going to launch.
Then it launches. Right.
Probably January 6th.
Well, very exactly. Actually, you know, it's funny you said that because I actually said this.
When Kamala has to sign off on it.
Exactly. Because that's why they want to make her president, right? Hey, Joe, step aside. Let Kamala be president so she doesn't have to certify the election because that's unprecedented, right? But the fact is that that's what I said to someone the other day. I said, we have the potential of seeing a real insurrection this January 6th rather than the you know, the fake insurrection that they called back in 2021. And right now things are ramping up in Russia, Ukraine, all these drone strikes, the involvement of Iran, the involvement of North Korea troops, things are ramping up. So the deep state's kind of do everything they can to continue to push for World War III, to continue to push for the destabilization of the United States. So
yeah, that's the other part of it. The, you know, the deep state has to kind of rush this through prior to January 6th, and then
right,
you know, and then really, and then the leftists launch their attacks. Probably, yeah. There's so much that can happen. We don't know. God's will be done is all we can say,
amen.
Right?
Amen to that. God's will be done. But let's just praise God, because right. I think a puppet administration of Harris and Waltz, you know, would have been a level, you know, honestly, it's a level of persecution, I think, in this nation that most Christians are not ready for. And that's part of the problem in the church, is the Christians in this nation are not ready for the hardship of having their faith tested when you have opposition. And, you know, I joke with everybody. I said, you know, I'm grateful for all the death threats on my life, because every death threat makes you count the cost of what you believe. And that's something that it's been a blessing, but it's also been a challenge, because the church has been too comfortable in this nation for too long. And it needs to see a level of persecution so it can be refined. But I'm just grateful for the chance to have a little bit of sanity at least. But yet I agree with you that there's a lot of things that are in appearance, and we got to be wise to see through those things. No, I don't think, before somebody asked me this week in a text, do you think Trump's the Antichrist? I said, no, yeah. I don't think Trump's the Antichrist. But I think the prophetic time clock is still ticking. It didn't stop. It's still moving forward. I just don't know the speed of it. I think they were going off the cliff at 160 miles an hour, and maybe now we buy a little bit of time to get ready, to prepare, to wake up. Because
yeah, I can see him undoing the UN Pact for the Future and different things.
The UN Pact, the getting us out of the pandemic accord. Obviously, the aspect of the funding, energy independence. I think that they will accomplish a lot of the energy independence. I think they will bring prices down. I think that they will, do a lot to, but I'm listening right now, and I'm trying to hear if they're soft pedaling the mass deportations and getting rid of so many, especially of these criminal illegals in this nation that have been, you know, that has been treason. It has been treason.
That's got to be job one.
That's got to be job one, because you're dealing with enemy foreign combatants, like all the military aid Chinese and Iranians and Pakistanis and Syrians and Middle Easterners that have been in this nation as sleeper cells and getting ready for the attack. So they got to ramp that up. I heard Radcliffe, they're now looking at CIA. It's just, I don't know. Everybody is from within the system. I was looking for outside people, and so far, he's going from within. The only one that I think that may be a good one was he with Mike Huckabee for the ambassador to Israel. Because, again, I know we're going to get into Israel, but I think that that's going to be something that is still convoluted because of the spiritual dynamics of that, of supporting Israel, rather than just from a geopolitical national security standpoint. Because, obviously, I support Israel's right to self-defense. But I don't want to get into all the spiritual being convoluted there.
Okay. Well, we're down to about 15 minutes here, so why don't we get into the situation with Israel and its neighbors, especially Iran, because you were born there, and I'm going to ask you to present your unique perspective on that, how biblical prophecy is taking place.
Yeah, it is amazing the biblical prophecy that is taking place. First of all, I believe what is happening inside Iran is prophetically taking place. Jeremiah chapter 49 has what I believe to be an outstanding or a prophecy that has not yet been fulfilled dealing with Elam, which is ancient Iran. I believe that God will break the bow of this regime at some point. You see in Iran a large percentage of the population that supports Israel, that actually welcomes an attack from Israel, which is bizarre to think about that, but they're so desperately wanting to get rid of this Islamic regime that they're even welcoming, you know, Israel attacking Iran and trying to get rid of this regime.
Did I just see recently some Iranian women protesting by wearing their underwear in the streets?
Yes.
No burqas?
No, you did not dream that. That was real. That was real. And of course, they've been doing that since last year, not to that extent, but since last year when that young woman, Mahsa Amini, was killed, they have been protesting. They had multiple times where they said, take off your hijab. Kind of like we were saying, take off your mask. You know, we had a take off your mask day, take off your mask month. They're saying, take off your hijab. And we saw many of these videos on TikTok and social media where these women were taking off their hijabs and very boldly. Of course, many of those women, you know, they'll get arrested, they'll get tortured, they get jailed. Some of them are killed. But yeah, you saw that correctly, where this gal strips down to her underwear, basically, in public. And so they're getting bolder there. They're getting more desperate to get rid of because you have to understand, not only are they living under this Islamic theocracy, but they're also living under unbelievably hard financial conditions. The $100 billion that went to Iran, thanks to the O'Biden administration, didn't go to the people. It has gone to funding their support of Hezbollah, their support of Hamas, their support of their efforts in Venezuela, their attempt to try to infiltrate the United States. The people in Iran are suffering. And so there's that element there. Then there's the element that obviously Iran is very much involved in the Russian war with supplying all of their drones. Iran has a very strong presence now in the eastern part of Iraq. And I've said this for years to people. I said, Iraq is really run by Iran now. The Iranians control the entirety of the eastern part of Iraq. And that gives them a potential access, potentially, especially Trump has said that he would maybe get troops, the American troops, out of Iraq and out of Syria, whatever level of troops are there. That would just open the way for Iran to march right into Syria, right up to the border, which could be lining up the Gog Magog scenario at some point of Ezekiel 30 and 39. So there's all those things going on. We continue to see them support Hezbollah, support, again, the efforts with Yemen and Hamas. You know, this is a evil, evil regime. And they, you know, Islam is evil. And they are advocating that. But the people in Iran that carries with it, Rob, the lowest anti-Semitism in the Middle East, they are not en masse enemies of Israel. They are advocates of Israel and the Jewish people. So there's a dichotomy there. Then you deal with what's going on in Israel right now. And that's where I wanted to cover with you, because I'm very concerned that now a Trump administration is going to expand the Abraham Accords. And I was never supportive of the Abraham Accords, Rob, because of the fact that they push for the Abrahamic faith. They pushed for the fact that it was going to bring together what they called the three great Abrahamic faiths, Islam, mm-hmm. Christianity, and Judaism. And if anybody goes to our website, they can see we have a document under Say No to Interfaith. And we have another document on that page that says, is at the top. If you go to the top under our tabs, under the menu, you'll see it says No Interfaith right there. If you click on that, you'll see there's a document there. First of all, there's a document saying refuting interfaith. But can you see that document that says Abrahamic Faith Lie under Explore? If you click on that, we did another document that spells out 10 reasons why Islam can never be Abrahamic. I sort of co-wrote this with a friend of mine from Minnesota. And this is what I teach in my presentation on the One World Religion Rising. I'm very concerned for this deception, because I think a lot of Christians that support Trump are going to support the Abrahamic Accords. And the Abrahamic Accords are unbiblical. Now, of course, prophecy is going to happen. We know the global governance is going to come. We know the global economy is going to come. We know the mark of the beast is going to come at some point. We know the one world religion and the false prophet's going to come. But we're not supposed to help it along. We're not supposed to support it. And while we're still here, we're supposed to warn people about it. We're supposed to be the watchman on the wall. So I'm trying to warn people, don't fall for the Abraham Accords. Don't fall for the false peace that they're trying to broker to expand the Abraham Accords. So I anticipate that's going to happen.
What a unique perspective. You're saying Christians should actually do something and not just wait for the rapture and push this along so we can get there.
Thank you. Exactly right. Exactly right. Right. We are not to enable this along just because we want to be able to be raptured home. So we are to be salt and light. We are continue to be watchmen. We're continue to expose the works of darkness. We're to continue to expose false teachers and false, whether it comes from the pulpits of Andy Stanley or Joel Osteen, or whether it comes from the White House. I don't care. We are to warn people, hey, don't spiritually align yourself. And when we did the interfaith document, it was because, Rob, we were warning about the likes of Rick Warren and Fuller Theological Seminary and the Pope. Yeah, exactly. With the Pope, with their 2019 document that they ended up building that multi-faith facility in Abu Dhabi, which they called the Abrahamic Family House. So here's kind of what I predicted. And it's just a fun prediction. Of course, the Lord knows. But I believe that people ask me, well, do you think the Abraham Accords are the peace covenant of Daniel chapter 9? And I said, no, I don't think that's the peace. That was not the peace covenant. But I certainly think it could be a foundation. They're setting the foundation for the many nations to come to peace with Israel. And I believe that a key component of any peace covenant between the many nations, including the Islamic nations and Israel, is going to have to include some negotiation on the Temple Mount. People forget that October 7, 2023, when Hamas, backed by Iran, attacked Israel, it was called the Al-Aqsa Flood, because it was all about reclaiming the Al-Aqsa Mosque. The entirety of the battle is over Jerusalem. It's not over just the land. It's over Jerusalem. They want Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the cup of drunkenness that the nations get drunk on. Jerusalem is the stumbling stone or the stumbling block for the Jerusalem is what they try to get, and the Temple Mount. So my prediction has been that some element of the ultimate peace covenant is going to include bringing in the Muslims and the Christians and the Jews together and saying, look, what if we treat the Temple Mount like we treat that facility in Abu Dhabi? What if we make it the Abrahamic Family House? We make it the House of One. We all worship one God. However, just like in Abu Dhabi, the Muslims control the religious practices. They're going to control it, but they'll say, we'll allow the Jews to rebuild the third temple, which I believe prophetically has to happen, and we'll let them do that. However, we maintain control. The Trump administration is not going to go along with the UN resolution against Israel that's for 12 months to get out of East Jerusalem. They won't go along with that. Remember, America didn't abstain from that, or they abstained from that vote. They didn't veto it under O'Biden. So, and I say O'Biden because, you know, we should know he's not running the country.
Yeah.
But here's what the article that I sent you today that was shocking to me. It absolutely proves that. Right there. The Midrash hints that Trump will return glory to Western world by building the third temple. So this goes along with the very summary that I've said. You know, Trump make Israel great again. If you go down a little further, you'll see there that they're quoting this rabbi, this Talmudic rabbi, Yosef Berger, there, that says the following. He says that Trump is a spiritual descendant of Rome. Isn't that interesting? The nation that destroyed the Second Temple. Trump has the potential to do a tikkun, fixing the sin of Rome and returning the glory to Western society. Trump's election is a necessary element of redemption and a sign that the Moshiach, the Messiah, is imminent. He said, quote, "This is why Donald Trump's gematria, the supposed Hebrew numerology based on his name, equals 424. So they're saying that the numbers of his name or the letters of his name correspond to the Hebrew numbers, Hebrew letters, which comes to the number 424, which he says is the same as the Moshiach ben David, the Messiah from the house of David. So they're now saying that Trump's name is from the same number of the line of Messiah through King David. And then he says, well, certainly this doesn't mean he's going to be the Messiah, but it indicates he'll play a role in preparing the way for the arrival of the Messiah. He clearly has this inclination. And I thought, wow, wow. Talk about setting us up for a spiritual deception. I'm not saying Trump even knows he's doing this or he's going to be doing this, but I certainly think God could use this to further move us in that direction. And sadly, many evangelicals will say, well, look, if Trump's for it, we're going to be for it rather than saying, Now, I'm all in for Trump's supporting Israel. I'm all in for Trump saying they have a right of self-defense. I'm all in for Trump being a voice for Israel. And certainly with, why am I blanking on his name? The governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee. Maybe with a Huckabee in there, you know, they're going to be very pro-Israel. And that's obviously a massive shift from the current administration. But this is the danger point. This is what I feel led to warn Christians. Don't go along with this. In fact, you got to be praying that this will not happen under Trump because, but it very well could be. And here's a Talmudic rabbi that is saying, Trump could be the guy that ushers in, helps us bring in the Messiah, which, of course, they believe if they build the third temple, the Messiah will come. And that's going to be obviously the deception of the Antichrist. That's going to be the Antichrist is going to come in. My supposition is the Antichrist could potentially not just be, you know, they say revive Roman Empire, but, you know, could come out of the Islamic world and or at least be working with the Islamic world. And, you know, so that's just my supposition. Nevertheless, please pray, believers, that God will give wisdom to these people to not usher this in any sooner than it needs to be.
Amen. Amen. All right. We are running down to the last minute here. You can find all of Shram's information at his website, tilministry.com. That's truthandloveministry.com. Also, the article that he was talking about, you'll find in the show notes from today's program. If you go to WCNTV.net, if you happen to be watching on Rumble, you'll find it there under today's program. Please share the show, get the information out there on social media, wherever you can. When you share the show, it expands more than we can do on our own. So we need your help to share the show. Next week, I will be back again, and I will have guests who've been working within the devastation in North Carolina and Tennessee. And we'll be getting firsthand information from those guests. You're not going to want to miss it. So we'll see you then. Thank you, Sharam. God bless you. We'll see you next time.